Bandwidth for Inside the Net is provided by AOL Radio at AOL.com/podcasting. This is Inside the Net with Amber MacArthur, episode 28 for July 13th, 2006. Mina Trott of Six Apart. So today on the show, we're going to talk to a woman that I have, well, I've known about for a long time. I interviewed her once on the Screensavers, and frankly, I've been a fan of for a long time, Mina Trott.
Yeah, I'm excited to chat with her because I've been a big TypePad user for a long time, and she is the founder of Six Apart, which does TypePad as well as a bunch of other web services, and they recently came out with Vox, which I think I got you hooked on, Leo.
You did. I started using, I've gone through a lot of different blogging software, and their first program, Ben and Mina were just a young couple living actually in Petaluma, and wrote Movable Type. Ben was a Perl programmer, I think, and he wrote Movable Type, and I loved it. I moved to it immediately and used Movable Type. I think I was a beta user before it was released. And then they did TypePad. Actually, they did this hosted Movable Type, then TypePad.
Yeah, I mean, I love all of their applications, and they I love how they integrate them as well with a lot of the other web apps that are out there, and, you know, they're really on top of what's happening, and the best part about it is I know at least Mina is a designer, so all of the stuff that they produce is really well designed, which is nice, and makes it so much easier to use.
Yeah, she's always had a great little blog herself that I always look to for just design, just beautiful blog.
Yeah, she has an awesome story. So fortunately, we got her to take time away from her busy schedule. And I know they're hiring a bunch of people and they're really swamped. But she's going to take some time to talk to us now about Six Apart and their plans for the future.
Why don't we start by asking a little bit about the history of Six Apart? Because I think it's a really cool story.
Okay. Well, I mean, Six Apart started as a hobby. It was first with Movable Type, which we released in October of 2001. I had a blog. I started in April of 2001. We wanted to do some more interesting things, or I wanted to do more interesting things, and I wanted my husband, to help me build some software to do that. You know, he's an engineer and I'm a designer, and we decided just to release something as a hobby donationware product. That was Movable Type. It quickly became incredibly popular. We decided to become a business around July of 2002, meaning we were going to try to do this full time. We didn't have jobs at the time, so it was easy to make that decision. Then we started with TypePad in September of that year. We got funding the year after. Every year is something different. So now we've gone from two people working out of the bedroom for 18 months to about 150. We have offices in Tokyo and Paris, and we have really four products now: Movable Type, TypePad, LiveJournal, which we acquired in January of 2004, and now Vox, which is in very limited beta release mode.
Wow. So what I'm curious why you really believed in the blogging community.
Blogging. So I don't know if I believed in the community as so much at the time as just blogging itself. I did it because I really needed some sort of outlet. I didn't feel I had the way to be creative anymore at work. I wanted to write. I didn't have the opportunity to write. I was an English major and I was a designer by trade, but then it wasn't something that I was really getting to explore too many things. So I started a blog, and I wanted, this is the funny thing, I wanted to reach a lot of people. I was at a little midlife crisis at 23 where I know it's horrible, where I said, I'm never going to be famous in the real world. I could possibly be famous in the online world blogging. People could read me. I could have 10,000, 20,000 people reading me, and that would be a great thing. And so that was my goal with Dollar Short. And I achieved that And then I realized, oh, wow, it really is blogging and then the community that matters. It's the smaller numbers. It's this kind of intimate relationship. Some of my closest friends now I met through their blogs, and I know them in online and offline. And so that made me realize that, you know, blogging is incredibly powerful, and that I wanted to be part of that, and we wanted to be part of it. And so now it's just, I'm amazed by where it's become. I mean, where it's gone. It's insane how many people are blogging, how many people I don't have to explain what we do anymore. Right. I'll go to Starbucks, I'll see someone just sitting reading a blog. And it's like, I never thought that day would come.
It's interesting because when we interviewed you on the Screensavers, you and Ben.
Yeah.
It was about 5 years ago.
It was really right at the beginning.
Just starting out. And I was an early user. I was before you released it as a beta user.
Oh yeah.
And you were kind of shy.
Am I not shy anymore?
No. I think you're not the shy 23-year-old that you were. I think you've come into this. Was it a difficult transition to go from, a garage or bedroom business to a very big business?
Yeah, it was a difficult transition at times. You know, we always had different periods where there was an extreme amount of growing pains.
Who was the mover and driver? Was it you that you wanted to make a business out of it?
Ben and I are both incredibly ambitious, and we realized that we could do something good and we could do it. And the big turning points came when, one, we first decided to take funding from Neoteny in 2003. And to say we want to go from this mom and pop lifestyle business that we operate in our bedroom to something that we're actually, people are relying us to make a business out of it and actually succeed, and then to start hire employees. I mean, that was a huge, huge leap for us. And we had Brock Berkowitz, who's our CEO now, and he was a board member, and he did the investment with Neoteny, did the diligence. You know, he helped us along this whole time, basically figuring out what we wanted and making sure we were comfortable, and then helping us get to that point, because that was a big thing. We brought him as CEO about a year after the funding, and we had to come to the conclusion that we wanted to get to the next level, that it wasn't going to just be this lifestyle business for us, and that was a huge step. As far as the shyness goes, yeah, I'm still shy in, like, if I have to meet, I go to a party and just kind of socialize. I don't approach people. I'm incredibly shy that way. But you can't be shy anymore when you kind of read all the stuff that you read about the company, and you have to talk to people. And so that's been the best thing. Ben was incredibly, incredibly shy, even more than he is now.
Yeah, you did all the talking for him, as I remember.
And I still do all the talking. We've actually gotten to a point where I basically do the press, and he doesn't do it because he just doesn't like doing it as much.
Do you still get to design? Does he still get to program? Or is that?
Oh, yeah. That's the funny thing. So with Vox, we've kind of gone into major... Ben has been engineering this entire time. Me, not so much in design. I've been doing a lot of press, outreach, kind of doing some of that more, learning more about the business. But for Vox, I actually went back the past 6 months, and I'm the lead designer. So that's been really, really fun.
Yeah, you have some great designs, and I know Leo and I have been playing around with Vox for a while now. Maybe just for those people out there who don't know Vox and might know TypePad or other applications you guys do, you could explain what Vox is and how it's different.
Okay, so the story I told a little bit, just a little while ago, saying I wanted to reach this huge amount of numbers, that's the blogging world that most people know, that people are writing a blog, and unless they're getting a huge readership, then it's not worthwhile for them. But we realized that there's so many people, especially people on LiveJournal, which was the company that we acquired, that people are communicating with smaller groups. They're doing 6 people, 10 people, not 600. So you have a service, say, like MovableType or TypePad. I'll use TypePad for the example because we know the numbers better. You know, most people are trying to reach, they have the average readership of 600 people. And that doesn't seem like a lot to maybe people who are aspiring to reach thousands, but that's a good number in blogging. And these are all mostly pro bloggers. The service had started, TypePad, to be kind of the family and friends service, but it was still so early. We launched it in early of 2003, and the people who were blogging were still people who were aspirational bloggers who wanted to either write for a large audience. So we realized that we need to figure out a way to bring mom online. And I hate always saying it because it's a cliche, but the mom example is really good. We did a presentation at demo last year on Vox, and we said, okay, my mom knows how to use a computer. She's intelligent. She's not that old. She's 48 years old. She's not the kind of mom that's sitting in the rocking chair you know, not knowing how to turn a computer on. The question is not how does she use a product, but why would she want to? Why does she want to blog? You know, there's no reason for her to wake up and say, I want to blog. So what we figured is trying to figure out the things that bothered her the most, and using her as, you know, amalgam of everybody. She wants privacy. She doesn't want anybody but me or Ben or a couple of people reading her post. She doesn't have a lot of time, so we want to make it easy for her to read things, for her to post, for her not to have to look all over the internet for things she wants to post. And she feels like she doesn't have anything to say. So you see, we're doing things like creating prompts for people to write question of the day.
I love that question of the day feature.
It's really cool.
Our users are loving it, which it could have been a big failure or a wild success. And so we're incredibly happy. It's been a complete success, and we're going to do more to make sort of prompting a part of Vox. So what Vox is, it's a tool that's easy to use. It's often a supplemental tool for people who already have blogs. You know, if I'm on Typepad or Movable Type, I have a professional blog. I also want something kind of just to talk to my friends and family. And, you know, if you have a readership of 20 people, that's okay, because those 20 people care what you're writing.
But I mean, it's also good for the person who has been blogging for a long time and wants even more features, because it does so much more than just blogging. And one thing I like about it is just the integration with Flickr. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, it just seems even friendlier than Typepad, and Typepad is pretty friendly to start with.
Yeah. So the question we've been asked a lot, and I actually saw in Leo's post about what questions you'd want to ask for this podcast.
Yeah, we got a lot of questions for you, so
yeah,
get ready.
The idea of why we did this when we have Typepad. And, you know, maybe 3 years ago they would have been the same product, but now the Typepad users are so different than the people coming to blogging. They need to customize the HTML. They need to integrate with their business or their media property or even their online presence. You know, we see Vox as being, you have a bunch of presence online in different places, on Flickr, on YouTube, on Typepad. You need one place to store all of that. And so that, it does seem like it has more features, but it has a different type of features. And, you know, one of the questions is, what do we bring to Typepad? We definitely want to bring all of those sort of, we're calling them conduits, all of those integration with other services into Typepad, because that's the next transition. But at the same time, we don't aspire Vox to be the tool that you customize, that you make sure it's your online presence. It's a different sort of feeling. And it's hard to articulate at this point, and we're still fleshing it out. You know, will we allow people to do custom banners? Most likely. When will we do it? We're not sure at this point. Will we allow people to change, you know, HTML templates? No, most likely not. And that's a decision we're incredibly happy with. And I think one of the things that we've seen that's very successful is that, I mean, I'm sorry, I have a cold. This is why I sound this way. I just hear my voice. We've had friends who've been blogging for 5, 6, 7 years say, I actually feel like I did when I started. Or,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
it's like I like blogging again. It's not
I will
this
back
pressure.
That up, because I have been blogging for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I try something, I kind of get bored with it. But there's something about Vox, and I'm not sure I could quantify it. Maybe it's the Ajax, because it makes it very easy. It's the integration with your mm-hmm. camera, phone, or your email. That makes it, you know, very simple. But there's something about it that just makes you want to post. You've done something right. I'm not sure I could put my finger on it, but
and we think we've done it right, and we also can't really explain exactly what it is. I think two possible things is, one, there's less pressure. I've had my blogs off and on for years. Dollar Short has been in hibernation forever. I've probably written about 150 posts since March, which is insane. I don't think I wrote 3 personal posts last year. And it's because I feel less pressure. If I realize there's something that I'm going to get pushback from the general public about, I make it friends and family. If there's something that I feel that's very easy for me to post, that is just kind of, this is something that I think is neat, it's public, and that's fine. And that's a big deal. To not have to, a lot of times I found myself in front of my personal blog saying, oh, I really want to write about this, but I know who I'm writing for, and if they read it, that's good, but then I'm going to get all these emails saying, oh, you don't understand that. And that's enough thing to put somebody off from blogging for a while. And we've made things easy. We've made it, the community is a huge part. Being able to read what people are writing is a huge thing to get excited. And so we feel like we've nailed it, thankfully.
Of course, one of the reasons it's that way right now is because it's not public. You have to get an invitation to participate. Do you think that quality will change when it is public?
The quality definitely will change, but as far you have to right now explore the public as a choice to read people's things outside of Vox. Right now, if you decided you only wanted to read your friends, you're not exposed to anything else, and that's a big deal. We're seeing people go onto Vox with invites that, you know, are friends of a friends of a friends of friends, and they may not necessarily be that sort of early adopter, but they're saying, hey, I'm looking at other people's posts and I'm learning from what they write what is a popular sort of thing, and you're kind of shaping the tone. So we always joke that Six of Parts incapable of building a MySpace, because it's just not in our nature. All of the things that people say about MySpace, about the kind of collecting friends and just kind of having 5,000 friends and that's the goal, and, you know, hooking up and all that sort of stuff. You know, we want to create a place where people feel happy, which is really, really, I guess people are going to say naive and sounds really lame, but I think it's a good aspiration to have a place where people feel comfortable and happy writing.
One thing I really like about Vox, because I'm also on MySpace, and, you know, I don't spend too much time on MySpace because I find it, you know, the audience seems somewhat immature in some ways, or I should say in a lot of ways, but I do like the elements that you've added to Vox in terms of the social networking. So there is that opportunity to kind of meet people, have friends there, see their photos, and I haven't seen this anywhere else. So I did a review of Vox a while ago on Call for Help on G4 Tech TV, the show I do with Leo, and I said, you know, it reminds me of kind of MySpace for adults, and Leo and I talked about that a little bit, because it just seems like a place you can go where it's not like MySpace, because it does seem sort of safe, and yet it does have that community feel. Do you think it's still going to have that feel when it's gone public?
I do think so. I think that we our goal is to make it public. We want to make it public, but we're never shooting for just a huge bombardment of users. You know, getting that 80 million number is, you know, it would be great for us as a company, but we want to make sure the product can get to that point as socially and culturally, as well as technically. And so whether or not we can keep that, I think we will definitely shape it. I think MySpace has shaped what they do. The tools shape what the activities are. You know, we are first and foremost a blogging service, and we choose to integrate with services that are very like-minded. You know, if the minute we link to some, say we did a conduit that was, hooked up to a dating service somehow, you know, that definitely would shape the tone.
It would change it very much.
Change it. So, you know, I think we have the tools, we've learned this in the past 5 years, the tools shape the behavior. You know, movable type and type had never had emoticons in the posting field area. And I think that sort of little decision shapes the audience. You know, Vox most likely will have something that's like that. And that's something that will make it more casual and more friendly. And that's fine. But at the same time, you know, we do figure out, you know, we want to have brands partnered with us that we feel are really good.
And what about for those people who are on TypePad and have been using it for a while? I mean, do you see people moving completely over to Vox? Because I'm straddling both right now, and I'll have to say, I know that you can cross-post, but what do you think is going to happen with both of those tools out there for those people who were or are TypePad users?
Yeah, I mean, that's a question we get a lot. People are always asking, so is Vox supposed to replace TypePad? Are you worried about it cannibalizing your users? And, I mean, back to the earlier statements, we feel that they're both for very different audiences. And I think because they're owned by the same property, Six Apart, this kind of blurs the lines a bit. But if you think about something like Flickr, people are very comfortable posting images on Flickr or photos on Flickr and not saying that's replacing something like their blog or maybe even their usage of something like OPhoto or whatever. And we feel that Vox is going to be good for a certain type of interaction, and TypePad will be better for another type. And, you know, cross-posting, the way we've done it is that's the first step. We want to cross-post to our other products as well as, you know, other blogging tools. This is just one place we think that is a certain sort of behavior.
You think it's going to create a new group of bloggers, people like your mom who wouldn't have blogged before?
Oh, I definitely think so, and I hope so. I mean, that is our goal. My mom, you know, she, and this is something we've also learned in the past year developing this. So my big goal for my mom was to get her blogging. And I've realized that even though I've managed to get, I think, 5 or 6 posts out of her, which are really unique to her, and I never thought I could get, I never got her out of it, out of any of our other products. So that's a success. The big success in my mind is I have my mom reading my blog every day and commenting. She never commented before. And that's kind of like the first start. And we need to realize that every family has those unique people who will be the people who will send the newsletter out and the mavens of that family. There's other people then that will read it and they'll comment. And then there's other people that kind of, I mean, it, lurking is a bad word, but that will just lurk around. And every person in your family has a different success or a different measure of success. And my mom commenting now and posting occasionally, that's a huge thing. And she would have never done it. So yes, I mean, that's our goal. And I've already seen a lot of people writing about, I got my spouse online. I've been blogging for years and I couldn't get him to do anything on blogs. I finally got him on Vox and he loves it. And we just have to figure out how to capture more of that and bottle it up and figure out how to do more.
So for those people who want to try out Vox, I know that it's not available to the public yet, but can you give us a time frame for when people can try it out and maybe even what the pricing structure might be like?
Definitely.
In the
so
future?
It is a ad-supported product, so it is free, and that is our goal. We know that to be able to have the network that we need to have to make sure that, you know, your family and friends are online and people that you want to find, it has to be a free service. Our premium services serve the purpose of, you know, subscription revenue for us. Whether or not we have a premium level will depend on our users' demands. You know, some people have expressed it, and we are definitely open to it. But first and foremost, it's a free service. We're not going to launch and it's suddenly paid. In launch time, we are shooting for fall. We're gradually inviting more and more people in, giving more and more people invitations. We've had a lot of lists that saying, are you interested in joining? And we are now starting to contact them and giving them invites and spread that way. When we take the complete invitation off, I'm not completely sure, but we're shooting for a fall public release and where we take the beta label off too. We want to take that beta label off as soon as possible.
But right, and I just
want it to be in beta.
That anybody can read a Vox blog right now.
Correct.
So you can't comment without an invitation and you can't create one without an invitation.
Correct.
And what about other services that you guys might be launching? You have 4 already. Are there a lot more down the pipeline?
Now, for now, these are, we're happy with having these services. I mean, it's pretty ambitious having a 4-product company. We're not a huge company. Even 150 people, we're not Yahoo size. What we're doing is figuring out what features now should be in all of the products, what we share within Vox and TypePad and LiveJournal. We just released a version of Mobile Type yesterday, a new version, 3.3. So we're actively developing all of our products. I think Vox will definitely be one that will see the fastest development cycles because it is new, and when you have a beta group, we can actually put in more features and take things out without worrying about offending a huge user base. So, everything's constantly changing, but I don't think there is a new product in our horizon.
Sorry, Leo, go ahead.
I was just going to ask a couple of technical questions. Ben was a Perl programmer when he wrote...
Sorry.
Are you still there?
My headphone fell out.
Oh.
Sorry.
Ben was a Perl programmer when he started Movable Type. Is this still Perl or have you moved?
Oh, yeah. Everything's still Perl. If you notice that Vox and LiveJournal have a very similar back-end architecture. That was one thing. When we acquired LiveJournal, that was one thing we were very interested in. Brad Fitzpatrick, the founder of LiveJournal, you know, he's incredibly talented and smart, and he knows how to scale these applications. And they scale them on, you know, smart software rather than throwing tons of expensive hardware at it. And so, I mean, Vox is very similar to that sort of dynamic back-end that you see in LiveJournal. You know, all the stuff is rendered instantly. That helps us be able to do the privacy and the different views so easily. But yeah, we're still a Perl house.
Yeah, it feels very snappy. It really, really is great. Yeah. And I love all the Ajax stuff. I have to say, I know you talk about the social aspect being a big part of it, but for me, it's just the ease of use and the powerful WYSIWYG editing built into it. The ability to put pictures in there very easily, upload stuff from Flickr or from my camera phone. The stock photos now you've added, I think that was a kind of inspired touch. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, yeah. We were very excited about that. We did integration with iStock Photo where the big reason was a lot of times you want to put a photo into your post, but you don't have it because you didn't take a picture of and the example I use is a sushi dinner. You want to write about sushi, but you don't have a picture of it. Most time people will go to Google Images. They'll do a search for the image. They'll save it to their desktop. They don't own the rights to it. Then they'll insert it.
Or they won't do anything at all, and they'll have a plain text post.
Yeah, or they won't do anything, and it'll just be text. And so what we did is say we worked with this stock photo company that does a lot of user-generated stock photos. So it's a lot of they're a combination of professional and amateur photographers.
Right.
And you can just search for a term, find it, and insert it. And there's a little watermark on it that gives a shout-out to iStockPhoto. And then if you click off to the image, it'll go to the end page on iStockPhoto so you can actually purchase it or find more art from that artist. And so it's a really, really fun feature. And no one's really done anything. And that's surprising. But, you know, we think that's part of getting these really rich-looking blogs.
Yeah, exactly. It makes it look so much better. I mean, Vox is very aesthetic, I think.
Thank you.
Beautiful
design. Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the other thing is with the themes. We decided we wanted to take a risk with the themes and say, hey, they can be a little bit more fun. You know, all of our other ones are very professional and you know, we don't want to offend. We want to have a template that could appeal to everyone. But at the same time, you never get the really, really fun ones. And so we can do one of like the Cosmopolitan. You know, it's an all pink template with a Cosmo illustration. That, you know, most people probably wouldn't pick it, but if 100 people pick it and love it, that's an awesome thing.
I'm really going to try to get my mom on Vox. I think this is the one tool I've seen out there that would really get her blogging because it is so easy to use.
I've invited my mom, my sister, my wife, and my daughter, and Patrick Norton. And if you can get Patrick Norton to blog, then you really do have a good product. And he signed up. He accepted it.
Oh, that's great.
We're always interested in knowing what it takes to get, you know, the family members on because even our friends and family, they're so exposed to us being a blogging company that it's hard for them not to know what we're doing.
Yeah, it would be really good. I just think my parents travel overseas a lot and it would be great to see my parents blogging so we could keep in touch. And this seems like a great tool to use it. I just have one last question for you, Mina. Okay. I'm just wondering, is there anything that you miss, you know, now that you're not working out of your home?
Oh, God, no. I mean, we don't even live in the same. We moved after about a year after we founded the company or moved into the office.
They lived about a couple of miles from me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we moved twice. So we moved from there and then we moved to San Francisco and then we moved out of there and now we have a house. So, of course, I don't miss working out of the apartment because it was just one tiny bedroom. Do I miss anything? Actually, if you asked me maybe a little bit like 6 months ago or 4 months ago, I would probably say that I would have missed designing, even though I didn't even know it at the time. Because now that I've had the chance to do it more, I feel, you know, I remember why I really love, you know, building tools. But, you know, I mean, I think we're in a position where we're doing really well. I get opportunities to share this with people. And, you know, we're in a really good position. And I'm, you know, it's 5 years. It sometimes feels like 10, but we're still happy doing it, which I think is the big measure. And I would never have thought when we were interviewed first by Leo that we would be doing this 5 years from now.
Shy little Ben and Mina. I do have some questions from Vox fans. Do you have time to take them or should we take them offline?
No, we totally got them.
Okay, we'll go through them quick.
Okay.
Just 10 questions. Mr. Filler says, ask her who makes all the themes and when more are coming. I love all the themes.
So combination of a bunch of people at the company. And we actually, a lot of the new ones were done by an intern. Her name's Tiffany. And she's an awesome illustrator. She decided that, or we had her just do knockout, you know, pets and cityscapes, all these sort of things that we thought none of us could design, and she did a great job. So, you know, it's a combination of our entire design team building themes. One thing that we want to do is actually go into the community of designers and, you know, ask them if they'd be interested in doing a theme to share with everybody, and just kind of, you know, it's about recognition and saying, hey, this person did this theme.
So, do you have a theme tool? Is it fairly easy to theme? Is it?
We actually, we're building the infrastructure to do that. Right now, it's a Photoshop file with all of the elements on it. And we basically ask people to edit that and then save it, and then we build it out.
Wow. That's
so if
cool.
people are, if designers out there are interested, you know, I'd be interested in hearing.
Ian Mikatel says, how's it been working with your husband throughout all of this? Benefits, negatives?
How has it been working? Oh, it depends on the day. We don't fight as much, but I think that's maturing. We've been together since we're 17, and now we're going to be 29. And it's hard to separate marriage from work. And a lot of times people want to separate us from each other when we're interacting. I mean, the thing I've always said is...
You're too powerful together. That's why I'm scared.
The thing I've always said is that if we were not working together, we would probably, our marriages would probably be over, because nobody would want to be married to someone so invested in their work. And so that's a good thing. At the same time, it would be nice if, you know, everything we did wasn't work related. You know, we were talking about this a couple weeks ago. There is like not a moment of our time where we're not thinking about work.
Yeah.
And it's been this way for 5 years.
You just took a vacation. I know that because I read your blog.
Yeah, I took a vacation, but I didn't take a vacation with Ben.
Ben stayed behind.
Yeah, Ben had to work, and I actually, one of my girlfriends, she hadn't really ever gone out of the country, or hadn't gone out of the country, period. And so I said, let's go to the Virgin Islands, because we were on the East Coast for work. And so we did, and it was a lot of fun. So hopefully Ben and I will be going on a vacation together. We're going away this weekend to a conference called Taste. Which is basically a foodies conference
up
in Napa.
Oh, that's fun.
And Ben, in the next life, he wants to be a chef, so cool. He should enjoy that great. So we'll probably have a nice break.
Is that your dog I hear in the background there?
Yeah.
Is he one of the models for the dog template?
Yeah, she's Maddie.
Maddie, oh. Those dog templates are so adorable. I love them.
They're really great. And we're getting all the people at the office that weren't represented. They're like, when are you going to do my dog?
My dog. Yeah. Uh-huh. And I looked for the Cosmo, and I don't see it yet. But the minute it's going up, I'm going to be the pink Cosmo guy.
Oh, it's up there.
Is it? Oh, all right. I'll have to look.
Illustration one.
I have a very boring one right now. I'm gonna find something cool. But
it's
that's
so
fun
easy
thing.
To switch it.
Yeah. I know. I've switched it 4 or 5 times already.
And I love that. I think our goal, if you notice in the last release, we pulled more of the site navigation on the control strip, mm-hmm. so you can change the design easily with a click. I think if someone changed their template every day, I'd be incredibly happy,
yeah.
because it's not about working hard to do this template
right.
that you have to use for 2 years. It's about changing your templates based on your mood.
Yeah, well, and I know how to do all that, and that's one of the things. And I had a TypePad blog for a long time, well over a year, mm-hmm. but I didn't want to. I got sick of doing all that stuff.
Yeah, and most people don't want to do it. I mean,
I just want to post.
we're a blogging company. I'm a designer, and I don't even want to do that. So
Eric wants to know about RSS plugins. He says, well, you know, so I can put my dig feed or something on like that on the page. You're going to add widget. You have some great widgets in TypePad.
We're definitely working on pulling in more sort of widgets and conduits. I mean, it's very easy to imagine all of the things that you see now that you can insert, that we're going to be working with other services. And so that's definitely on the roadmap. I'm not sure if Dig specifically, but we're definitely going to work with trying to figure out how to get what people are doing online and something that would appeal to most groups, as well as, you know, some of the power users.
Yeah. And by the way, I'm not asking all the questions because you've answered almost all of them just in the conversation. But somebody did ask about, it's very easy now to put an image or a couple of images into a post, actually an unlimited number of images into a post, but he wants to add audio and images. And I mean, mm-hmm. I think there's a point where you have to balance complexity with capability, and you want to make mm-hmm. this simple, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of the things that, is constantly the balancing act. The big surprise to us is when we first released this in the very initial beta, when it was 100 people that were definitely friends and family, most of those friends and family were already blogging early adopters. And we said to them, here's a product. We know it's not for you. We don't need to hear how it's not for you, that you need all this functionality. Think about it for your family, or think about it for your friend that you want to see blogging that doesn't blog. And what we found was, they said, oh my God, I want to use this service. And they said, oh yeah, I could see it for them, but I want to use it too. But then it's like, oh, but I only need this one feature. And that only need that one feature ends up building something that's so complicated that then it doesn't appeal to the people who are new.
8,000 features later, yeah.
So I think what we need to do is be forceful and say, hey, you know, we know you want this. We are listening to you. But we want you to think that perhaps you don't need it, and can you trust us for that? You know, there's a lot of people who would say, you know, 4 years ago, I would never write a post that couldn't be seen by the entire world. And doing this leap that's saying, no, you don't. You may want to write a post, and some of the images you may not even want to share. And that's one of the functionalities of Vox. I can write a long post about my vacation and not feel comfortable sharing the pictures. I can make those pictures friends and family, and only those people can see it.
That's something I haven't really played with, and I like. I like that idea a lot. But I'll need more of my friends and family to be on for that to really make sense. Right. Right?
Well, if you need more invites, let me know.
I do.
Oh, you might not want to say that.
Just
kidding.
We have a bad history.
People who are listening to this who are on Vox, I mean, we definitely want to bring in people who are interested in blogging. And so, you know, we are very open. We're not guarding this, you know, because we want to say, oh, it's this elite service. We're saying we want to make sure we can scale. But at the same time, if you're really interested, you know, we want to get you in. And right now on sixapart.com/Vox, there's a sign up for you if you're interested in receiving an invite. And we're going to start doing stuff with that. And we're actually bringing that to the unlogged in dashboard state of Vox as well. So we want people in. We just want to be able to manage it.
Good. Yeah. Because I went through my invites pretty darn quick, so don't ask.
Yeah, me too.
Well, thanks to Amber for inviting me, I have to say.
Yeah, and I know you've been using it a lot, Leo, so it's been great. I've been watching what you're doing all the time.
I'm really happy to find people blogging who I know. I mean, I have some personal friends who are bloggers that I knew when I started my blog. And, you know, they haven't been blogging for the past couple of years, but now they're back. And that's, I mean, as a personal user of Vox, that's one of the best things I've been able to find.
It's been exactly my experience, and I've done it every possible way, and this is the easiest.
That's great.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Mina. It was really great to chat with you and your busy schedule, and I'll let you know when I get my mom on Vox, because it's going to happen.
Okay. Very cool.
Amber's mom. Can she call her blog Amber's mom so we'll all know who it is?
Oh, that's fine.
Please. Actually, maybe I don't want her on there now that I'm thinking about it.
When Amber was little, you would believe. So please give our regards to Ben. Both of you have done a great job with this. I can kind of tell that you're getting back to your roots with Vox. This has been a personal project for you.
Yeah.
And what I'm seeing from it is a very mature product from two people who intimately understand what blogging is about and what bloggers need. And I've never seen a blog that quite hits the sweet spot so well. So
yeah, and I mean, it's an effort of the entire company, and I don't want to take
they all
too
get
much credit.
Yeah.
Yeah, they all it's an amazing team that we have, and it takes a long time to build a team.
All right. Thanks so much, Mina.
Thank you, Mina. Take care.
Okay. Thanks. Right. Have fun.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Mina Trott, the queen of the blog, and Vox is their new product. I like that you can ask for an invitation.
So yes.
We'll put a link in the show notes to that.
Yeah, that's really good because, you know, I always find some of these communities, the more people you get on it, the better it can be. It has the potential to be. You can see what other people are doing and, you know, add more neighbors. And like I mentioned before, unlike MySpace, I think that it'll be a pretty, you know, a nicer community possibly.
It's so much fun so far. I mean, I've really been having a great time playing with it. It's very easy to use, and it just does tempt you to want to blog, to want to post. And you know, I think part of the problem, as I kind of alluded to, I've had a lot of blog engines, and what I end up doing is I end up tweaking and fiddling with the engine, with the code, with the design, and not posting any content.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing that happens to me as well, is that, you know, I'm constantly trying to figure out what content I want to post, and so often I'm also playing around in the back end with Typepad and, you know, messing around with my template
and
widgets and adding things, and Typepad is not that easy to use. I think when you actually get the product up and running and you find, you know, template you like and you kind of learn how the back end works, it's great, but it took me quite a few months really to get to, you know, really understand how to use it and how to modify the design. So with Vox, I mean, within 5 minutes, I think you really get a good sense of how you can change things and adjust things so you can focus on the content. And that's what I think at the end of the day, we all want to be doing. We want to be creating things and sharing things. And so, you know, focus less on tinkering and more time on content creation. And I think, you know, that's what blogging is really supposed to be all about.
It's been really fun for me. I mean, I feel like in many ways, like Ben and Mina, I've kind of gotten back to the roots of what blogging was all about and why I did it. In the first place. So it's fun. They've done a nice job.
Yeah, they really have. And I am going to get my mom on there.
Are you?
I got to make her listen to this. Well, just because my parents spend so much time in Sri Lanka, and I'm always fascinated by all their stories while they're over there, and they have a high-speed connection, and they're out in the middle of the jungle pretty much. And I know they have such wonderful stories and pictures, and I hate waiting for months to hear all of them. So it would be so great if they could just get online.
Well, and then the beauty of this, she doesn't have to make it public to anybody but you or the
exactly.
family. So only, you know, it's much better. And it's very easy to do that and to do it post by post. So you can have a public post next to a private post. You can have, as Mina said, private pictures in a public post. They've really done a very good job of that.
Yeah, and that's the type of thing that I think would be so neat instead of, you know, with time changes and with so many families being so far away from each other, you really want a way to share stuff without, like you said, without making it public and letting everybody see it. So it's the perfect tool for that.
Well, I think we've given them a big plug, but I am a fan of Ben and Mina, and I think Six Apart is one of those companies that has grown gracefully and consistently made good products, you know, hasn't gone crazy with acquisitions. Has stuck to their knitting, and the proof is in Vox. You can see Vox at vox.com. You can get invitations to Vox from sixapart.com/Vox. And you can see more of Inside the Net on our brand new site that we've just launched.
It's looking pretty snazzy, Leo, I have to say. Twit.tv looks fantastic.
Well, and guess it's so who did the design?
Archetype, yes. Yeah. I have to thank Tony as well as my brother Jeff for working on the architecture. And then, of course, Lullabot, who did the development in Drupal. So they did a fantastic job. And it honestly is such a huge improvement. I find myself going there more and just being able to see the big picture versus just the long sort of blogging format it used to be.
And, of course, Amber MacArthur, you're working hard. On Torrent. You just celebrated 1 year of Command N.
Yeah, we got a great interview with David Cronenberg. So that is live on CommandN.tv.
I can't believe it. You know, you look at the new Command N, the 1 year anniversary, and there he is, David Cronenberg, saying, "Happy birthday, Command N." I mean, one of the great film directors of all time. Did he kind of get it, what a video podcast was? And
oh, he totally gets it. And if you listen to his interview, he has some really interesting thoughts on, you know, technology, on piracy. He's really into it. And he really enjoyed chatting with us, which is great because there was lots of mainstream media around waiting to interview him. But I think he likes sort of the indie route that we're taking with video podcasting and podcasting in general.
That's
and
neat.
He's just such a neat guy. And it just, it makes me so proud to think a year ago, Mikey and I were out in a parking lot with an iSight camera and our Mac and QuickTime broadcaster recording our first podcast. We called it This Week in Toronto because we didn't have a name.
Really? I didn't even know that. That's funny.
Yeah, we called it This Week in Toronto after Twit, right? As a joke. We probably didn't tell you that.
No, but, you didn't mention that part.
And then we came up with a name, and then 52 episodes later.
That's great.
We have Cronenberg saying happy birthday. So it feels good, Leo.
it's a real validation. CommandN.tv to see that episode and all the other great Command N episodes. And of course, Amber and I do a Call for Help, which you can see in Australia and Canada, but in the United States, you have to go to Google Video to see it. We actually are now offering, I'm really pleased to say, all of our episodes. In fact, we're going to get all of the episodes we've done in Canada, over 400 episodes online, for 99 cents an episode at Google Video. Go to callforhelp.tv/callforhelp/video. And again, I'll have a link in the show notes to that so you can find it. Wow. This has been a lot of fun. And I look forward to seeing you next week for another great show.
Yeah, I can't wait, Leo. Have a great day.
We'll see you next time, Inside the Net.